There's nothing like a crisis.
In a person's life, to liberate one's prayer life, anybody's prayer life, take away the comfort, take away the shield of security, interject the possibility of death or some calamity, and suddenly we will find the family of humanity praying to God, won't we? And the prayers that they lift out or that burst out of their hearts are not formal prayers filled with cliches, but rather they spontaneously jump from the heart as a person reaches out to God. And I'm sure each one of us at some point in our life has experienced that gut prayer that just jumps from us because of the urgency of the moment. But the problem is in the normal flow of life, when life lacks its urgency, or the problems and the trials that we experience in life, we've become so accustomed to them, they've been around us for so long, when life lacks its urgency, suddenly prayer lacks its urgency too, and prayer becomes a struggle. Prayer is difficult, it's painful, it's hard. It's painful because our prayers so often are lifeless and empty when we've tried so much to put meaning in them. It's hard because we find ourselves saying the same things over and over as a ritual or a liturgy, and we don't get down to the business of praying. It's difficult because often we don't know what to pray about, and then we don't know how to pray it, and then again we're not sure as to what God's will is, and so we don't know what to pray for. And we pray intermittently. We may pray faithfully for a week or two, and then a month may go by before we pray again in a meaningful way. And we feel it, don't we? My heart went out to someone some time ago. We knelt to pray, and they looked at me and they said, "You don't want me to pray, do you?" And I said, "Well, I'll just pray." And so I prayed. And when we got up from our knees, they kind of sheepishly looked away and said, "You know, you've been to the seminary and you've taken prayer 605, and so you know how to pray." And much of what we read about prayer, much of what we read about prayer leaves a truckload of guilt on our shoulders. It leaves us with meaningless cliches and even some meaningless God talk. And because we don't pray for those long extended hours that Dr. So-and-so in the seminary might, or some famous Bible character, or because we're not able to weave Scripture into our prayer, or because we just don't say it the right way, the way that we've heard an elder say it. And because in the course of our life, in all the prayer life that we've had, no mountain has ever been moved. We struggle with the meaning of prayer for ourselves as an individual, but there's some secret mumble jumble that some have and some don't, and obviously, I don't. We long to have our prayer life liberated, don't we? And then when you look at a passage like verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now that sounds good, doesn't it? In the Jerusalem Bible, it says, pray at all times, on every possible occasion. And what kind of guilt does that heap on our shoulders? Or what kind of energy does that bring out? Especially after we've just shouted at our kids, or we've said something to someone else, or we've obviously blown it. And then here's a verse that says that we should always be praying, and we realize that we haven't been praying. But there's something in this verse that I think that we haven't always looked at when it comes to our struggle with the practice and the experience of prayer. And it's that simple little thought that Paul says that our prayer and our supplication should be where? Look at your Bible. Just look down. Where is our prayer supposed to be? What does it say? You do have your Bibles. How many have your Bibles? Let me see them. Hold them up. Okay, you do have Bibles. Are they open to Ephesians 6, verse 18? How does Paul say we are to pray? Let's say it together. In the Spirit. Now, this is a very interesting thought to me. Verse 17 tells us that the Spirit primarily addresses us through the, the word or the message of Scripture. But verse 18 says that the Spirit of God then allows me to address God with a freedom and a confidence. There is a dimension to prayer that defies logic. That has to do with the mysterious work of the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts. The Spirit of God is sent to liberate our prayer life. Prayer is not natural to us as human beings. Prayer is a grace, and we can expect it operating in our life because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Prayer is the indication of the measure or the index of the measure of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. He is the one who liberates our prayer life. He is the one who makes us praying people. And I have to confess, probably even as your own mind is struggling, well, what does the Bible mean? What does Paul say mean when he says, pray in the Spirit? My mind is, I've had a hard time grasping it. My mind has struggled with it. I have to confess. And it almost sounds spooky, doesn't it? Kind of mystical, superstitious. It doesn't sound normal that we should pray in the Spirit. It seems so elusive. And the things that are conjured up in my mind are the fanatical, you know, the emotional outbursts of a fanatic. You know, when they're praying and suddenly they burst out, Jesus, we love you. You know, and it sends chills up your spine to those of you that have prayed and with somebody who suddenly starts speaking and doing things while you're praying. Or there's the chilling noise of someone caught up with the ecstasy of speaking in tongues. Perhaps that's what it means to pray in the Spirit. Or is praying in the Spirit when we have those intense hour-long or intense moments of prayer where our faces are weazened up like a prune and tears are dripping from our eyes? You've seen it on TV. Whatever caricature emerges in my mind about what it means to pray in the Spirit, I cannot deny the message of Scripture, that Scripture is saying that prayer can take place and needs to take place in the Spirit. And I've come to understand Paul as saying, pray in the atmosphere of the Spirit. I understand Paul saying today, what I hear him saying to my ears today is that when you pray, pray in the realm that the Holy Spirit of God has created. That's what it means to pray in the Spirit. And my mind begins struggling with that. And as I search through Scripture, I begin seeing that the Spirit of God, that we can enjoy fellowship with the Spirit. That we can enjoy a personal relationship with a member of the Godhead who comes and who is resident with us. And as a result of the Spirit's presence in my life, I have a deeper sense of the presence of Jesus Christ in my life as well. You know, the Bible writers didn't perceive of Christ up in the heavens, distant from His people. But the Bible writers saw Jesus as being real and going along with them through the experiences of life. And the realm that the Spirit creates is a realm of realness, the realness of relationship where God is with us in the realities of our experiences. The Spirit of God can bring an intimacy between ourselves and Christ so that as we go through the experiences of life, we will find ourselves naturally just talking to Him. He's there, and we're experiencing what we're experiencing, and He knows that we're experiencing what we're experiencing, so we share it with Him. What comes to my mind is, earlier in my ministry, I was on my own, pastoring a church on my own, and I didn't have anybody to share. My burden for ministry, my philosophy of ministry, my ideas about ministry, and I sorted many of them out on my own or with the Holy Spirit that is at home with me, that many people call my wife. And we've talked, I bounced ideas off of her, but now I have the privilege of a pastoral staff, men whose opinions and insights I value and I appreciate, whose affirmation and whose guidance I look forward to. And I tell you, I find myself, as I'm wrestling with ideas that come to my mind, I find myself bouncing them off these two pastors of yours and of mine. And it's because we are in relationship, I find the naturalness to share in a lateral way with them what's going on in my mind and how we should approach things. And that's what the Bible means when it says praying in the Spirit, because the Spirit creates a realm of the conscious presence of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus is consciously present in the daily vicissitudes of our life, then we will be talking to Him. And it is this awareness of the presence of the Spirit, the awareness of the presence of Jesus, that creates the praying heart, that places in me the desire to pray because He is there, close at hand, that creates in me the attitude to pray because He is there, close at hand. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. In the Spirit, individuals who are in the Spirit often find themselves being prompted and guided by the Holy Spirit. And I want us to look at a couple passages here. In Revelation 1, verse 10, I hope you have it open. I saw your Bibles. Revelation 1, 10, it says, I was what? Let's say it together. In the Spirit. On the Lord's Day. Are you in the Spirit on the Lord's Day today? Are you? I don't hear too many amens about that. Is today the Lord's Day? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Then you should be in the Spirit. But here, John is seen as being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and the Bible tells us he heard behind him a voice as a trumpet. Now, turn with me real quickly to 1 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter, I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. 2 Peter 1, verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God, what? They spake as they were what? Moved by the Holy Spirit of God. Now that's exciting, and think with me for a few moments. The experience of being in the Spirit, being moved by the Spirit, causes an individual to be prompted and guided and even to speak. And I suggest that praying in the Spirit means that we are in a relationship with the Spirit of God where He indeed prompts and guides and inspires our prayer experience. And in a way we can say that we are in the Spirit and inspired. The Spirit of God does not let us alone in terms of what we should pray about and how we should pray. He helps us. He is given to be our aid. What do you say? Turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Some familiar verses. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Here we have the idea of the Spirit, you know, in the verses that we've already looked at, inspiring our prayers, taking our hearts, moving us, impressing us to pray. And being in the Spirit means that we put ourselves unreservedly at his disposal to speak to us and to guide us when we are in prayer. And here the verse tells us that we struggle with even how to pray. We don't know how to frame our petitions. We struggle with it. And the Bible tells us that we have infirmities. Verse 26 there, He helpeth our infirmities. A modern translation says He helps us in our weaknesses. Whenever it comes to prayer, human beings experience infirmities. Human beings experience weakness because it's not natural to us. The Spirit of God is given because we struggle with wrong motives for prayer. We struggle with prejudices in prayer. We struggle with sheer ignorance sometimes of what to pray about. You know, sometimes we're like that little boy. He was praying at night and he says, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my toys to break, so no other kids can use them." Or the man that was kneeling beside his bed and lifting his heart up to God, and he says, "God, is there any way that you can help me out of this situation and let it appear as if I did it all by myself? Or perhaps our prayers sometimes are like the little boy who got a splinter in his finger and his dad said, well, what do you want to do? And he says, well, let's pray. Well, what will that do? Well, I want God to take it out. Well, I can take it out. He says, I know, Daddy, you can take it out. But if you take it out, it hurts. If God takes it out, it won't hurt. Struggling with how to pray and our motives and our thoughts. And then there's even what to pray for. Should I marry that guy? Should I go to Andrews University? Should I send my children to our Christian education? How much should I give to the Lord in my offerings? Should I go to this individual and ask forgiveness? All the various situations of life we struggle with. But I suggest this morning that if we allow, and that's the point, if we allow, the Holy Spirit of God will help us in our prayer. Because He knows our needs, He knows our weaknesses, He knows our desires and the yearnings of our heart. And He will touch us and move us. And He will cause us to pray about those things that are supremely important. And He will also cause us to be submissive to the will of God. And only the Spirit can do that. Only the Spirit can help us to be honest with ourselves and sort out our emotions and our motives and also be honest with ourselves whether we're really giving it all to God or not. But that's the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit's presence in our life and how He can facilitate prayer. But then there's even more in this passage. It talks about, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us. The idea of the Spirit interceding, the idea of the Spirit participating with us in our prayer. The Spirit of God understands the mind of God, but He also understands the mind and the struggles of the human being, of you and me. And He knows that there are times when we are so confused about which way to go and our emotions are being torn and we don't know what to pray for and how to relate to a situation that all we can really do is inwardly sigh to God, God help me. Then there are times when we're not sure how to say what we want to say. And then there are so many things that we experience. And so the Spirit, the Bible says, comes to our aid. He intercedes. And I like that word, helpeth. Helpeth our infirmities. You know, the Greek word, it's 17 letters long, and it's longer than what I'm going to share with you today. Because you have a problem, some of you, with even a short word, name like Lichtenwalder, 13 letters. So I won't tell you what the long 17-letter word is, but that long 17-letter word simply means help, and it means to come to the side of one who is doing something and is burdened down with something, and you come alongside of them to help them. It's the word used by Martha when she said to Jesus, send Mary in to help me get all this food ready. And it's the word that my wife has in the back of her mind. You know, after we've had guests on Sabbath, and we've had this nice, sumptuous meal, and everybody's scattered, and the sink is this high with dishes, and she wishes that she had someone to soon anti-lambanomai her. But I have to say, my dad told me a long time ago that I don't have to wash dishes anymore. So I don't help her. That's a shame, isn't it? But the point is that the Spirit of God is there to help us. He is a mediator and intercessor who is resident within us to plead our case, to pray alongside of us. And that is what gives us confidence to pray. What do you say? Because when our prayers seem cold and when they seem lifeless, when they don't seem to get above the ceiling of our room, we can be assured that the Spirit of the living Christ is present, living with us, and who is praying with us and helping us even as we pray. And just as the wind carries seeds through the air and plants them in a barren land so that foliage grows, the Holy Spirit of God
brings seeds of new thoughts into the barrenness of our prayers, so that we can pray with meaning and life. And this is the liberating of our prayer life.
Return to me, with me, to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, Paul is simply saying here in verse 18, pray always, pray at all times and on every possible occasion. When we're getting married, when we've been defeated, when we've graduated, when something is good happened, when something bad has happened, when things are neutral in life, we should be praying on all occasions. And then he says also, with all prayer and supplication, he's saying all the varieties of prayer. The cries of help, the cries for help, the cries for forgiveness of sin, the intercessory prayer where we pray for someone else, the requests for guidance, all the different kinds of prayer and the different ways in which they are expressed, the prayer that silently goes up from our lips as we're taking a shower in the morning or when we're driving our car or when we're suddenly struck with some reality of life that is pregnating our hearts in a hurting way. Paul is simply talking about the need to be praying people. In the Navajo Indian language, the word most associated with the idea of prayer or used for prayer is that of, quotes, holy person, unquotes. For the Navajo Indian, you cannot disassociate the person who is praying from the prayer. So a person doesn't pray, they are a praying person, and because they are a praying person, there is prayer. And one of the important elements in building a consistent, meaningful prayer life is for us to become praying people. Where we are praying because we are praying people, and it's the Spirit's power alone that can come into our hearts and our minds and transform us and enable us to be praying people who will be praying. One thing has become clear to me as I prepared for today. Wherever there is much prayer, there is much of the Holy Spirit. And wherever there is much of the Holy Spirit, there is ever-increasing prayer. Because the prayer is the index of the measure of the Holy Spirit's work in our life. And for the Holy Spirit to work in our life comes down simply for us to begin to pray. To pray with a renewed awareness that He is there to help and to guide and to prompt. And to pray with an open heart that surrenders to His leading.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you would discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.